Life Audio.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Billy and the Goat, the show dedicated to helping you overcome life's challenges, overcoming adversity, sharing your testimony. My guest and I met for the first time today. His name is Jason Jano. Jason is from Spring City, Tennessee. He's had a lot of stuff happen in his life. At the age of 10, he started as a laborer working for his uncle, who shed a lot of positivity in his life. But unfortunately, Jason was not open to any of that. Then ended up at the age of 15, getting kicked out of high school for fighting. He was just a little fella and did not take kindly to being picked on. So he fought a lot. Jason loves fishing and hunting, but he ended up spending more time with his other hobbies, drugs, sex, and alcohol. His wild and crazy lifestyle first put him in jail until he escaped and finally ended up in and out of prison for 18 and a half years of his 47-year-old life. It's been hard, says Jason, but I'm determined. At age 45, Jason finally gave his life to the Lord and has not. Praise God. Jason, welcome to the show. Hey, you've been through a lot, man. Starting from, you have the floor. I mean, where do you want to start?
You know, I could probably talk about a lot of the bad stuff I did, but it all stemmed from the drugs and alcohol, and I've had a lot of good stuff happen, since I've been saved. Justin, he's been a mentor to me for years, good to the bad, to the good. And today we do a lot of things together, for people. Like we have a guy working for us. He had an accident when he was young and broke his back, and he has to wear braces on his legs from knees down. I guess he went through a pain pill addiction or whatnot. And he's an addict, and we went to pick him up for work about 3 weeks ago. This is what I was going to tell you earlier, and you stopped. One of the guys went to knock on his door, and he motioned for us to come there. So we get up there, and there was Matthew in the floor, had a drug overdose, and he had been dead for so long. It gets good. This is a God thing. We had to pry his arms apart to do CPR on him. Remorse had already set in. His blood had capillated in his face on one side of his face before he'd been there. He'd been there for over an hour and a half, dead.
What?
And I looked, turned around, looked at Justin, and said, "Man, he's been dead too long, bro. He doesn't move him down." And he said, "Just do what you can until the paramedics get here."
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
So we started on CPR, and I was praying. I put my hand on him, was praying. After about 10 minutes, he said, and it started coming life back into his body. And I witnessed that with my own two eyes. And since that day, my faith has gotten so much stronger, because I've always been a believer since I've gotten saved. I mean, my faith is good. But this day really changed my life. And the next day I'm standing on a roof watching this guy work, doing my cuts for me. I'm standing there crying, watching him work, thanking God, for what he'd done. Because that was Jesus and Jesus only that done that. Amen. You know.
I mean, I'm going to shake you up. Nothing will.
No. I mean, it is, he was working with us today, as a matter of fact. And I thank God every day for the blessing that he's been bestowing on us, you know. You know, I really don't know about so much about testimony other than, you know, my old me's gone, and he's doing great things through us today.
Amen.
And I'm so grateful for it, you know.
My goodness. I'm glad that you saved the story, man. Gracious.
Yeah.
Let's go back to when you were a kid, you know?
Yeah.
Just kind of paint a picture of what you went through.
I had my home life was okay, I guess. I thought it was normal. Like my sister said that she and I both were molested or whatever. I don't remember it. Mm-hmm. She does. I don't know that. And I was just a mean kid, I guess. I'm the average boy to me. I was pretty mean. And my mom was always gone. You know, I was going to my uncle's house, and
mm-hmm.
and they pretty much took me in, and my uncle raised me. They were good people. They made us go to church and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But
how old were you then?
I started going to me and my little cousin became friends, and I was probably five or six.
Okay.
And he was a year or so younger than me. And I may have been 7 or 8, you know, and I would walk down to their house and play with him or whatever. And then when I was coming about 10, I think I started working for his dad, but he was a carpenter in the building houses and stuff. And I would poke lumber for him and he would pay me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
so you work at an early age, man.
Yeah. You know, when I tell you, doing something, you work for it. That's mm-hmm. what I was taught, you know, and
that's it.
They tried to instill good values in me, which they did, mm-hmm. but I got into drinking and stuff at an early age and smoking weed. And
what age did that start when you started smoking and drinking?
I was drinking at 10 or 11, bro, because we were still Lynn's brother's beer. I was Jeep, you know. I mean, we always sneak over and get those beers, and we'd take off on the 4-wheeler and try to
mm-hmm.
drink them.
Mm-hmm.
But with weed smoking probably didn't start until about age 15. And that's whenever my stepdad slapped my mother, and I beat him up really bad. And they kicked me out, and I went to live with my dad, which I had just met him. My dad at age 15, and he allowed me to do whatever I wanted to do, smoking pot, drinking, and he would buy me beer and stuff. And
I thought you were living a good life.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought, you know, he let a girl move in with me, and I wound up getting her pregnant. And at the age of 17, she became pregnant. Mm. And, you know, to me, it was the greatest life, you know, as a teenager.
You could
do whatever I want, you know, but it was
That's what we want to do, man, when you're teenager. Yeah. That's what you want to do.
Yeah.
But it was my destruction, you know, really. And my dad allowed it, and it wasn't a good thing. Me and him were more buddies than father and son.
That never works.
No. And I wish things would have been different, but I made my own choice the same. I guess it was God's grand design, as they say, you know.
That's it. Well, this path you're supposed to be on.
Yeah. After that, I got kicked out of high school, and drinking and partying and going to fighting. I was always fighting. And they kicked me out of high school, and my dad said, you're going to get a job. If you're not going to go to school, you're going to get a job. So I went to work. Worked for my uncle. When he trained me to be a framer. It's 18, and I went to work at a factory in Dayton, Lazy Boy, building furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to work there, that's when I got into meth, when I started doing meth. For the speed part, because I was on production, and I thought, well, maybe get faster. And no one made me faster, all right. Not good, but, you know.
That's right. That'd be good.
And I got married. I met this girl, and she got pregnant, and we got married. I thought, you know, the right thing to do, so I married her. And I wasn't a good husband. I she was over all the time and never was home. I filed up the bills and, you know, everything was good, you know. As long as I paid the bills, make sure everything was there, everything would be good, but it wasn't. So that didn't last long. And then my dad died. And while I was in jail for DUI, my dad died. And well, I remember we bought Texas off of the jailer and was escaped. Me and another guy escaped and took the jailer's hostage and handcuffed him and all this good stuff.
You took someone hostage?
The jailers. Yeah.
The jailer?
Mm-hmm. That's why I went to prison. That's the first time I went to prison.
And, wow.
Yeah, and I thought that would be a good idea, but that was not a good idea.
So much.
No, it turned out real bad. And I was done a bunch of time with that one, too. But when I got out, the only thing I learned in prison was how to be a better criminal. And
interest. How's that?
I mean, when you go in, you're supposed to be, you go into correction, you know, it's Department of Corrections.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go in, it's a totally different world in there. You know, it's hard to explain. It's like a world inside of our world, but mm-hmm. with every bad guy you could think of. You know, the drugs are worse in there than they are on the street.
Really?
Yeah.
I've always heard that, man. It's just hard to.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you lived it. So.
Yeah. I mean, the guy that I escaped with, became a gang member in prison. Gang mm-hmm. to the top. And the one that put me down was the one I escaped with. And it's George Hyatt. And he is in Tennessee Department of Corrections now for life while I was incarcerated there. After me and him escaped, the nurse that brought my meds to me and him was cellies, the nurse that brought me my meds, they hooked up and she helped him escape and she killed two correctional officers in Harriman or in Kingston, Tennessee. And, you know, it's crazy. The life in there is crazy.
Time out. Time out for a second. I mean, so the nurse that he hooked up with killed two.
Yes. They caught them in Ohio. Oh, this was after this. This had nothing to do with me, but.
Right. But you were around it.
Yeah. It was my cellie, you know. I mean, in the penitentiary, that's the things that you're faced with, you know. Mm-hmm. Except my cellie that did this. And, well, the woman, the nurse did the killing. You know, it's in there. You have to be something that you're not, or you'll be preyed upon. And it, you know, it does something to your mind in there, you know.
I bet.
Yeah. After that, I was locked down for 19 months after that because of just me being affiliated with him and me being gang affiliated. It was all, they tied it all in together and.
Mm-hmm.
Which I had nothing to do with, but no, in their eyes, I could have been, because me and him had a prior escape together. And I was locked down for 19 months on max over there.
And, you know, some people don't understand what lockdown is. Explain exactly.
You're in a room for 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Solitary confinement.
Yeah.
Some people call it.
Okay. And that
for 19 months.
My last 19 months.
And the only time you came out was when?
Take a shower. Mm.
Just shower.
Yeah, you got in a cage outside, but I mean, what's the point going out to another cage? So,
one.
But, you know, that, I can't, that put it, you know, it hardened my heart, you know. I didn't have no visits or anything while I was in there.
No visit.
No one else. No way. I was dead every time I was in prison. I had one visitor.
No friends, no family.
And it kind of, so it made me hard hearted, you might say. And then whenever I got out, I was on my own.
Well, how long was that stint you were talking?
First one?
What? Well, no one. Oh, you saying anytime you're in prison, no one came to see you? Wow. Okay. I thought you were talking. Okay.
No. I never had a visitor. What? I took that back a month to you. I did have. My mother came to see me whenever I escaped, and they actually had us back from Florida. I was called in Florida on the escape. My mother came to see me and told me she loved me before they sent me to prison. And my grandfather came and seen me that morning and seen me, and they shipped me off to prison, and I didn't see him again for some years.
I'm just...
Drugs and stuff, all, every bit of stem from drug use.
Right. You know. I can't help but think, and you know, who we hang out with, who we're around, you know, our circle, people, friends, family, has everything to do with how we act, talk, walk, what we do, you know? So obviously, the people that your circle now is much different from the circle you have.
I mean, right? It is. I mean,
it has to be. It can't be another way. And, you know, just thinking back to, you know, all that you went through and how you were raised and stuff that you endured, like, you know, being abused or molested. You know what, man? It happened to me too, you know, growing up. You know, by my babysitter. It affects, just like you said earlier, it affects you. It messes with you. And I think part of it is, it's so awful that we don't want to, like, part of us, think sometimes I think we just don't want to, so we just block it out. And no doubt that had everything to do with, you know, you and school and carrying on and drinking and, you know, trying to dull the pain.
I really don't remember happening. Mm-hmm. My sister's happened to me also. Right. And, you know, I'll take her word for it. Maybe it is. I don't remember it. Thank God. I don't remember it.
Right.
But I remember those people babysitting us, but I don't remember it happening. Mm-hmm. Maybe Shane was traumatizing it. Right. I blocked it out, but I just don't remember.
Yeah, I'm not trying to force you to remember. You don't remember, you know, don't remember, man. Certain things you don't need to remember.
Right. You know? And my parents, they swept it under the rug. Mm-hmm. Like, No, that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a family member that did. And when God punished him for doing that, he had a stroke and was in a wheelchair, and then it is what it is. He later on in life, some more people came out and said he did this, and he was sent to prison where he died of a stroke. I think I'm telling you right. I'm not positive on that, but I know he did suffer a bad stroke, was in work. And God done that.
That's so sad. You know, what do you, I know you were carried on, you were drinking, but what, when you were in that dark space, did you know that you were in a dark space? Did you know you were doing wrong? I mean, sometimes people, they don't know they're doing wrong, or just being rebellious.
Oh, I knew I was breaking the law. I didn't know that. But as far as a dark space, I don't think I ever realized it was a darkness until, you know, years into it, you know,
right?
Because I wasn't suffering any consequences other than prison, and I had already came. I was so accustomed to prison that was like a break for me from life. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but when I would get caught, I would like, man, thank God, I'm gonna take a break.
It doesn't sound crazy to me because I understand what you're saying, and I've said this before, not here, of course, but I've said this before is, when you're in darkness, everything looks just fine, and it's not.
That
enemy fools us.
Yeah, prison became a comfort zone for me. When life would get too chaotic, I would get caught. It was like I would get to do something, you know, so stupid that I would go back to prison and get rid of it.
But you even said earlier that it does something to you so bad in there. So to hear you say it's a break to go to prison, it's like mind blowing.
But the life was so chaotic for me out here in the drug world because I was doing so much. It was just
right.
I mean, I was out for one time by myself for 28 days between prison stint. And I did not sleep a wink in that 28 days. I was going selling drugs. And not one time did I go to sleep in 28 days. I paid $100,000 cash in 28 days selling drugs.
You wasted $100,000 cash?
No, I made $100,000.
Oh, you made $100,000?
Yeah.
In 30 days?
In 28 days.
28 days. Good gosh almighty.
My release, I was out 28 days from the time I got out, the time I got caught.
Yeah.
I was caught in Georgia with a stolen car, $20,000, 2 kilos of meth, and a machine gun.
You had a machine gun?
Yeah, AK-47.
You had an AK-47. So, I mean, things were that crazy that you had an AK-47?
I had 2 kilos of meth and $28,000 cash. And I was going down to deal with Mexican in a cartel.
Is it the first time down there?
Mm.
Oh.
No, I was dealing with some people that would kill you and just like it. I don't even think twice about it.
That didn't bother you?
No. Not at the time. I mean, it was just life for me, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, since I was, I used to go on drug runs with my dad when I was a teenager. You know, we got shot at by the Cubans in Florida, at 15 years old, I'm with my dad down there. He's going by the cocaine from the Cubans in Florida.
So Jason, this started when you were 15?
I've been doing this all my life. That was nothing for me,
Wow.
It was just a way of life, you might say.
Yeah. I understand, man.
My grandmother, my mama used to tell me, you're too stupid to be scared. She said, boy, ain't you scared of nothing? I said, no. She said, you're so stupid to be scared. She would get so mad at me.
Jason, it's wild. Well,
I'm living really the life of chaos. Jesus is gone. I ain't got to deal with it. I'm not believe that way no more.
Isn't it? It's just amazing how powerful, amazing, and loving God is.
Amen.
I mean, you, brother, you went through some stuff.
I see people today who knew me back in those days and were just looking at me all crazy, like, who is this?
Some people looking at me.
Like, what is going on there?
It happens, man, when you welcome God and you welcome Jesus Christ in your life, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Nothing else can do that.
No.
Nothing.
It's like, when we go into these stores, I'm used to, I'll be hiding, police standing in the rocket top of the morning, I'll be hiding from them today. I walk up and shake their hand. Hey, how you doing, guys? And they talk to me and, in a respectful manner.
There you go. Change, man. Good for you, man. I'm proud of you, brother. Yeah. You have kids, right?
You have five kids.
Five
kids, five different mamas. I've always wanted to be a family man. That's what I always wanted. That's what my heart is, my family. Because I didn't have that growing up. And I wanted, but I would end that life and I would lose it all. And then when I go back to prison, And a woman was nobody in prison. So they would leave me. I'd get out. I'd meet somebody else. And it was never no good because it was never. Today, I know that it has to be by God and through God, or it's going to work. It has to be
there in the first place.
You know what I mean?
100% I do, yes.
So, I have two in my room. I have a 28-year-old. A 23-year-old, and then a 13-year-old daughter. I've seen him maybe once in his life. He was adopted out. Then I have a 6-year-old that I'm going to custody court now on. Since I've changed my life, I'm working on getting him. And that's that's going to be a blessing because I know it's coming. My lawyer tells me, you know, now I see a custody battle in the future, and I, you know, thank you for that. But, you know, God's with me in everything. And so everything I do, I put Jesus first, you know, so.
That's it. Amen. Yeah. Wow.
I'm so thankful for my salvation.
Bet, brother. You went through some stuff, man.
It's been a while. It's been a while. You know, a lot of people, I tell them, you know, his stories, and they're like, no way. I'm like, okay. You ain't got to believe me. But just know that it happened.
I mean, it's not, it's just, unless, wow. Unless you're used to hearing it or being around anything like that.
Yeah.
Anything outside of your,
Because most people, they don't. That's like they see on the movies, you know. But when you're in that lifestyle, that's nothing new, you know.
You just live your life. Yeah. Your life.
And I don't ever want to live like that no more. Never, ever, ever. You know, I've got one of my daughters won't speak to me now because I asked her, you know, I said, don't go out. Doing this, but she's on heroin and all, and she asked me to my grandbaby. She holds him from me, just for punishment, you know. Because I asked her, you know, we go to church for you, do this, just ask her to live right. And that's yeah.
But, you know, I get it. It's hard to. We're both saved and we're living yeah. right and not left. So, right. So, well, listen, I can say for myself. When I was in that darkness, doing all the crazy, and if someone come up to me, preaching yeah. something to me, or I'm like, man, you got your mind.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. help me with that. Because yeah. they put, you know, there's a veil over their head, a veil over their eyes. They can't see.
Look, you know, when you're in that lifestyle, you yeah. ain't even going to hear no.
Nope.
And they know me from that lifestyle. So they're like, what? Hear it? No, you know, because it's been 2 years now. You know, I'm 45, I would say. Mm-hmm. And it's 2 years now I've been walking. And I get stronger every day, thank God.
That's it.
But, and I'm just, you know, they'll see. You know, see one day that I'm not going to waver. They're not going to waver me in my faith.
I think it goes both ways because for me anyway, even when in that darkness, like I still felt the pain of the darkness of, yeah. you know, of being drunk or high drugs. Like I remember being in my bed at night, my heart pumping out of my chest because I was on so much stuff, you know? So I knew that it was what I was taking and the lifestyle I had that was causing it. But at the same time, I didn't want to leave it because it's all I knew. And it's like, felt like it was an attachment. Like it wouldn't let go of me and I didn't want to let go of it. You know?
I knew I was miserable. You know, when I was miserable when I was high. And it was like, it never would go away. It's just, you know, I knew I was just so miserable. Mm-hmm. And I wanted away from it, but. It was just like all I knew. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The only thing I knew was that misery.
You didn't know a way out. You didn't know. Yeah.
And the only peace I would get would seem like was when I get locked up. When I get locked up, I would start reading my Bible and get clean. You know, it's crazy. But that's why I would be like, phew, thank God.
I think that's the hardest part for me to wrap my head around because I like. Just by what I've heard and what you shared about how it is inside and to think that going inside and being in there was like peaceful for you, which tells me the flip side of that is how crazy it was on the outside. And all I know is it was crazy. You know, it's crazy on the inside. Wow. God bless you. Let me ask you this, man. Is there another story you wanted to share, or
My next question was, are there some nuggets? Because, you know, the reason we do this, obviously, one is to fellowship. Praise God. Give him all the praise, but also to help our listeners who might be going through something similar.
Yeah.
Like some nuggets and any kind of wisdom that you could
share. Man, I get up every morning now. I have a daily devotional. I read my devotional. I read my Bible every morning, pray. And if I don't do that, my day's bad.
Right.
I have a bad day, I'm going to do every time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll tell you a story. This girl that I introduced into the life, when I was trying to get out, you know what I'm saying? I don't want this off no more. She was like, hey, will you plug me in to your connection? That way, I said, you don't want that. You don't want that. She was young. She's about 28. She don't want that. Brandon, you don't want that.
She wanted the life you were trying to get out of.
Yeah. She wanted some of that easy money, fast money. And I said, no, you don't want that. She talked me into it. And so I said, okay, I'm just going to give you this phone number. I'm going to call them and tell them, and y'all do whatever. I thought I don't want no part of it. Well, she went one time, bam. Now she's sitting on 10 years, a 10-year sentence, just signed for a 10-year sentence. And I sent her, I've been talking to her through messaging on the tablet. Mm-hmm. And I send her a Bible verse every morning. And she told me, she said, I wish I would listen to you. She said, you only wanted right. I said, bring me out. I didn't want nothing bad to happen to you. I said, and you know, I knew if nothing no good was going to come out of it, because that's why I was trying to get out. And she's sitting on 10 years and 28 years old. She'll be 40. She'll probably be 40, I think, when she gets out. But I send every morning, I send her a Bible verse. And, I talk to her as much as I can. You know, that's why I try to live my life today. I put God first in everything, because if I don't, man, it's going to be a mess. And when we go to work, before we start, pull our tools out, we pray, thank you for the day. You know, thank you for bless this job and bless our hands. Be your will and ours, you know, every day. And I thank him for that. And this, you know, we got, the life is so good now. The work is coming and pouring in. It's just everywhere, you know. I got my help. And, you know, I'm 47, and I got to work most of these 18-year-olds, you know. You know what I mean?
And, hey,
this,
I understand. We don't want to work.
I know. I'm just so glad we can't find a way to work. Everybody wants to keep jumping on dope. And, you know, my daughter said, Daddy, you went from a needle junkie to a Jesus junkie. I said, amen.
Amen.
That's all I can say. Amen.
Yeah, all right. You high on Jesus.
Yes, all the time.
Love it. Right. So it sounds like one of your nuggets is don't do it. Stay away from it.
Pick your Bible up, read your Bible, pray, do whatever you can do for Jesus. Because he's going to do whatever he can for you.
You have a go-to scripture?
Mm-hmm.
Amen on that, brother. All right.
Yeah. Matthew, let's see. Matthew is again. So, well, just some of that earlier. Matthew, Justin. I can't think what it is. It's the one where you don't try to pull your plank out of your eye before you try to. Hey, you know what I'm talking about? I can't remember what it is. It's like my mind. Yeah, that one.
Don't be judging me.
Yeah, till you get you. Don't try to help me until you have the
plank out of your eye. That's
because you got all these people that be trying to tell you what to do. You know, they've got two or four hanging out their eye. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Especially the ones, you know, that knew the old Jason.
Yeah.
They think you're still old Jason. Man, that's not you anymore. You're a new man, bro.
You know, and a lot of these people, they rehab. I tell them, you don't need no rehab. You just need to get some Jesus in your life. Hey, that's all it took for me. I went to a recovery program. Okay. I went to CORE, and they told me, I said, okay, I got on drug charges, get rehab so I can get on my feet. They got to be dope no more. They said, no, just get out of your can. I said, what? So I went to a recovery program down here, and that's when God found me, you know. But I was in church, and when I was going to church is when I got dry. And I ain't been same since, you know. I've been clean sober for 2 years now. And they wanted it.
It's just no need for it. Go, Jesus.
All the wants, all those wants and happiness are gone. No, all of them. I don't want to taste women no more. I don't want, you know, things on custom or whatever now and then,
I was sinning.
No. It's gone.
That's it. That's what God will do.
I mean, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. How it can change you so quick.
That's it.
You know?
If you let them.
Yeah. These people, I have a lot of these from my old life calling me, texting me. How do you do it? How are you doing this? I said, Jesus, get this from Jesus. Let me tell you about that. Let me tell you about my Jesus. I like that song. You heard that song by Ann Wilson? Let me tell you about my Jesus.
There you go.
Or something like that. It's a little bit song. But yeah, if it ain't him, it ain't gonna go right.
That's it. You're gonna go left. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own?
Yeah.
7-3.
7-3, that's it.
Man, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
You shook me, man, with some of this stuff together.
But welcome. I've been down the world.
God is good.
Amen.
God is good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Allow me to take a moment to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on the podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you will find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and much, much more.
No matter what you're going through, you are not alone. Sis, if you've experienced pain in your father-daughter relationship, I want you to know that you are loved and seen. I'm Kia Stevens, host of the Hope for Women with Father Wounds podcast, and I created my show to help you exchange your father wounds for the love of God the Father. Join me for encouragement, wisdom, and scripture. Just search Hope for Women with Father Wounds on lifeaudio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.